Welcome to the podcast at Life Community Church in Gilbert, Arizona. To learn more about our church, visit us at lifecommunityaz.com or join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30. I hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, I'm talking about fishers of men. Not fissures of men, fishers of men. A little pulpit humor, I guess. Anyway, glad you're here. This is a good time. Jesus, when he called his disciples, he said, follow me, and I'll make you, and most of us think we'll make you a better person, make you a better husband, make you a better wife, citizen, whatever. And he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And I don't even think those guys knew that. They were fishers of fish at the time. And so Jesus says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And so his call to all of us, what he's going to do with us eventually, is make us fishers of people. Not just men, but of fishers of people. And so, and that, it's usually uncomfortable for a lot of us. See, most of us here, are, if you're not caught, let me encourage you to open your life to Jesus this morning. You can be a caught fish, you know what I'm saying? But most of us are caught, and we're glad we were. You know, we were out swimming against the grain, and somebody caught us and reeled us in, explained to us about Jesus, and we are really glad they did. And it has to take somebody explaining the whole thing because it's not intuitive. You can't sit under a tree long enough and come to the conclusion that Jesus died for your sins. Somebody has to explain that to us. You can sit under a tree long enough and figure out there's probably a God out there. You can look at creation and kind of determine that kind of stuff. But somebody explained to us that that Jesus really died for our sins, that if we had invited him into our lives, that he would, and we're glad they told us, but it's really hard to tell somebody else. I remember as a kid, we used to go out witnessing. We called it out witnessing. And no kidding, when I was, think about this in today's thoughts, when I was 12 years old, we went in what we called an invasion in South Tucson. Anybody been to South Tucson a few years ago? Anyway, South Tucson, we were knocking on doors in South Tucson, and these people would invite us into their house. And I remember I got invited into somebody's house, and they had some religion going for them or something. I was 12 years old by myself and debated theology with those people for 3 solid hours. All the group gathered, and Delmer's not there. They go around looking for me, and I was another hour yet getting out of the house. I think that finally somebody dawned on them that I was about to get stolen. You know what I'm saying? But and we've all tried to what we call witness, and so you throw out your best shot at the gospel, and don't raise your hand, but who's ever tried that and got confused yourself? Because you figure you better answer about the dinosaurs and Noah's Ark and about evolution and creation and how come there were 3 Josephs in the Bible and lots of Johns. And so you say, well, you ready to get saved? And they're looking at you and they're confused because we get nervous and we get confused. And so Jesus lays it out. And so that's something we're learning to do. And we're building up for what we're calling the Canon Sunday, October 23rd. It's going to be our kickoff where we hope to feed 100 families a complete holiday dinner, whether it be Thanksgiving or Christmas. And we're gathering food to do that. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But fishing for people. Number one, fishing for people was never intended to be a solo exercise. Jesus gets his guys together. And in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, and when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and I don't want to brag, but I've been there. It's wonderful. It's right in that same area, region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And it'd be a good thing to do tomorrow at lunch when you have lunch with the gang and say, guys, gals, what's the word on the street about me? And they would look at you like you're crazy and say, you know, the only one talking about you is you. There is no word on the street about you. But there was about Jesus. Jesus then and now is not a neutral term. I tell you, he wasn't neutral then. There's some people that just loved him, healed him, and all that kind of stuff. And some people just hated him. And were obviously, they're ready to kill him. And so, as today, Jesus, now you can talk about God and the great beyond and all that kind of stuff. You bring the name of Jesus into something, and it gets dicey really quickly. So verse 14, they replied. Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Now, John the Baptist had just been killed a few months earlier. So can we say together reincarnation? These guys were into that. They thought that maybe John the Baptist came and Jesus was him. And, you know, people miss the dates and they get confused. Or maybe you're Elijah, one of the Jeremiah. So maybe you've come back from the dead. But we know that there's something holy about you. Everybody says that. And they think it's kind of a reincarnated one of the old prophets. Lots of rumors. But verse 15, but what about you? He asked, Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And this was the real question. This was not some kind of a gotcha thing. And Jesus says, well, what about you guys? Who do you say that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter, one of the few times he answered correctly, answered, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I think all of heaven just got still, because this was the declaration that they were looking for. I don't think you're Jeremiah, I don't think you're a great preacher, a great prophet. And Peter says, I think you're the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the truth of it is, guys, listen to me. This is what basically every Christian in the world believes. You might be Catholic, Protestant, whatever you might be of any brand, but one way or another, it's that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ means the Messiah, the one who has been sent. And so when Peter comes back with that kind of an answer, Jesus is saying, whoa, you got that right. You ask any group of Christians, sometimes we all have our distinctives in how we do things and how we don't do things and all that kind of stuff. But the flat line, bottom line to all Christianity is that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, whether it was, there's debate in whether it was the Peter that the church was built on or his confession that it was built on, and we go with his confession that was built on, and I'm not here to talk too much about that, but he says, on this, on what you just said, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I'm going to build my church. And they're saying, what's a church? We in 20th century, we know what church is. It's where you come on Sunday morning and do your thing. But it church was came out of a term that was a non-religious term. And when Jesus said it, the word church meant a voting constituency. Whether it be nowadays it'd be Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, whatever the deal may be. But he says, I'm going to build my group, my assembly, my ecclesia. And he says, and this thing is going to be powerful, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. Can you imagine how these 12 guys felt? Jesus makes a bold statement like this. And he says, I'm going to build my group. And they say, what do you mean, your voting constituency? What do you mean, your pals of people? And Jesus says, on top of that, the gates of hell will not be able to stand against it. Incredibly big movement. And the common platform is that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's not political. It was not ethnic. It was not class. You know, we have class system. In those days, it was almost a caste system. Huge caste systems going on. It was not that. It was not any kind of a language. A small, rabble group of guys that Jesus says, I'm going to build my group, my movement, my guys, gals. And he says it's going to be so strong that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it's amazing that from that time till now, 2/3 of the world's population believe that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's not some rabble, small little group anymore. And what the church has been through over the last 2,000 years, think of all the charlatans, all the scammers, all the ripoffs, all the inquisitions, all the crusades, all the terrible stuff that you would think could have put the light out. Jesus said it's not going to happen because it goes on and on and on and on. And he said even the gates of hell aren't going to be able to stand against what the church is going to do. Now I believe that. Believe that to the core of who I am. Committed my life to that fact. They asked President Lincoln one time about God being on his side, and Lincoln responded, he said, I just hope I'm on the Lord's side. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. We've staked our eternal souls in the fact that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me will never, never die. We've put our hope, we put our faith in that statement that Jesus made, and we believe we have eternal life because of it. So when he said he's going to build his church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it, I'm not at all concerned that he's going to do that, because it's his and he can do that thing. He's God. I'm always concerned, am I on the right track? It's not, is God on my side? Am I on the Lord's side? That this unstoppable movement, that the gates of hell will not stand against. See, I know that's going to happen. My concern for me and the group that I lead is, are we on the right track of that? If there's anything that keeps me up at night, Lord, is there a better way to do this? Is there a better way to reach people for Christ? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing, or is we just doing something because, oh, we've always done it that way? And so in searching for that and really wrestling through that, we're going to do something a little bit unique this morning, and we advertised on Craigslist and offered to pay a small stipend for someone who does not go to church. I've got friends that don't go to church, but if I interviewed them, they like me and they would be biased. Jamie Johnson's got lots of cousins that don't go to church. Oh, the whole family, they don't go to church. But if we interviewed them, they would be biased. And so we've met a friend this morning, and she is here, and Jamie is going to interview her. And what we promised her is we would not badger her. This is not going to be a bait and switch, and we're not going to try to convert you and get you after church and all that. No. She has been gracious enough to come and to give us an honest opinion and an honest answers to her questions about whatever Jamie's going to answer. We have not met her before this morning. And so at this time, Jamie and Isabella, would you please come? Let's give them a hand as they come.
Now, I'm not going to sit on the stool. I'm going to lean because I'm in a skirt. We're not that kind of a church. So this is my friend Isabella. Everyone, can you say hi to Isabella? We are both extremely nervous to be up here. I met her a few minutes ago when you came in. I've never met her before in my life. So basically how this all came to be is we've seen this done at another location, and we posted an ad on Craigslist. Public interview in church for cash. And can you believe all of the people that responded to that? So we talked to some. We read their emails. Some of them were, I thought they were crazy. I don't know if they were. They're probably really nice people, just excited. And so through that, we found Isabella. We had one conversation on the phone. And I said, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. Are you scared? And do you want to say yes? And she's like, okay, let's do it. So we had one conversation over the phone. And I met her this morning when she walked in. And that's it. So we're just going to have a conversation. It just happens to be in front of everyone. And our stage is very scary. Most of the people here who have been going to the church for years have never been up on this stage. So thank you for coming and being brave enough to do this. I really appreciate it. Yeah. See, none of them are up here. Okay. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do? How old are you?
Well, I'm 23. Right now I'm looking for a job. I didn't just come for the money. It is something that does interest me. I'm a very open-minded person. I love to learn about different cultures and just everything, so I thought this was a great opportunity. I'm still contemplating whether I want to stay for the full
service.
but I just thought it was a cool opportunity to get out here and to actually get a good opinion across, opposed to being closed-minded and not. Yeah.
All right. So do you normally attend church?
I do not know.
Have you attended church in the past at any point?
I have. Before the age of 10, I was actually Catholic, and my whole family is Catholic. So I reached a point in my life where it was really, really traumatic, and that's when I kind of deconverted. Or got out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Stopped going?
Yeah.
Okay. So if a close friend invited you to church, would you most likely attend?
It would depend on what I had going on, obviously. but maybe possibly, just kind of depending on my mood or how I felt about the whole situation.
So you're open to the idea of, if a good friend invited you and you were available.
Yeah.
Would you go, you're like, no way.
I mean, if they were a good friend and they were like, come on, I really want you to come, I'd be like, okay, you know, I'll do this for you. But say if it was just any kind of person or a friend that I'm not very close with, probably not.
Okay. If you came to church, like you're here today, obviously, this is a rarity. But if you were to come and leave, what would prevent you from returning? Like, what is something that might, like, turn you off or something that would prevent you from coming?
Maybe someone too pushy. Like, I don't know, just trying to convert me or, like, whatever. Like, I want someone, if I attend a church and I start talking to people, I don't want people to come up to me like, oh, yeah, this is not, you should just come over here because we're awesome and this is law and this is right. Talk to me about your experiences, but don't force it on me. I want to be able to make that choice by myself because growing up, I'm the type of person that the minute I feel attacked, that's when I close off and I'm just done. There's nothing you can say that's going to change my opinion. I'm done at that point.
Right.
So just, yeah, someone friendly.
So you have to be really friendly. Okay, so tell us a little bit about your faith background. I know you said you were Catholic before you were 10. Has there been any other experiences? Like, have you gone to an event or even a wedding and you felt something? Like, has there been any bit of faith going on in the last, well, I guess it would be 13 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do have experiences. I know a lot of people may not believe, but I do kind of have, like, as far as paranormal stuff goes, the reason why I stopped going to church and stopped attending church at the age of 10 was because that's when my mother passed away. And I have in the, like, every time I attend a church, it's like, as weird as this sounds, I feel her even more because she was a very religious woman. And in a sense, that kind of intimidates me to the point where I want to cry because it makes me think of her, you know? Mm-hmm. Or it makes me feel her like she's close. And I know she's not here anymore. So that kind of, that's, I guess you could say, why I shun going to church.
Because that could be uncomfortable
to
feel that. So this is something in common. Obviously, we just met today. But my dad died when I was 8 years old. So about the same, you said you were 10? Is that when she passed away, the same age? So I was 8. So same thing. Not that I come and I feel my dad, but we believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when I come and I kind of feel something, I believe that that's the Spirit. I do think you feel something. But, you know, maybe, like, we would probably think it's something, like, you would think it's your mom, we would think it's the Spirit. But I do think those feelings of, like, I come and I just hear music or I hear a song and I feel something, I do think that that's very real. So whether it's your mom or the Spirit, but then if you think of your mom and it makes you want to run away, you know, because it brings up bad memories or you're sad or whatever, I could see how that would be hard. So, but same thing, my dad passed away when I was 8, too. I was very young. Okay. If you came to church, what would you hope to find? Like, if you were to show up on a Sunday and you're like, this is great. Like, I can't wait to come back. Like, what are some things that would make you think that?
I guess just vibes and personalities, meeting good people. That's kind of what I base my life around. I'm tired of having so much negativity in my life. I just want positive people in my life. So if I do ever decide to come to church, I want positive people. I don't want someone that's going to, like, be nice to me and then, like, turn around and completely talk bad about me behind my back or just someone not real.
Yeah.
So just people.
Yeah. Absolutely. Joyous, happy, friendly. I think it just goes back to what you said first, like just friendly, friendly, very real people. Okay, so where are you on your spiritual journey? Some people, I would call it like your walk with Christ. Spiritual journey is like very generic, but just any kind of religion or where are you at with that? Like, are you?
Right now, I'm just kind of living. I don't necessarily believe in anything. Wouldn't say I'm an atheist either. I'm just looking for proof, I guess, right now. If I can't be shown then I kind of don't want to follow anything blindly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to know what you're walking into.
Yeah.
I think that's true for everybody. Like, sure, I'll drive a car. It doesn't matter if it works. We're good. Okay, so what made you respond to the Craigslist ad? Was there some curiosity there?
Well, partially was the money, because I am looking for a job, and I was trying to, I needed at least $60 to get me to my first paycheck to and from work. But like I said, it's just, I felt like it would be a good experience. It would be fun to kind of like come up here and like talk about my standpoint and my viewpoint on things. Mm-hmm.
Has this been a good experience so far?
I'm super nervous. I don't know if anyone can tell, but I'm very, very nervous. But yeah, so far so good.
Good. You don't seem nervous at all. You seem very comfortable. So hopefully I'm not making you nervous. I just look at you and out of the
I just
people.
Have stage fright.
Okay, we as a church, and coming up in a couple weeks, we have our Canon Sunday. We are trying to reach people for Christ. We believe that you have God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Jesus lives in our hearts. Like, the Holy Spirit is real. We believe all that. We are trying to share God's love with people. So can you, from a completely outside perspective, tell us what would help us do that? Like, do you have any last thoughts? As a group of people sitting here, isn't that what we're trying to do? We're trying to show God's love for people. What can we do to do that better and more effectively? Like, what could we do? I'm not saying we're going to reach you today, but what could we do to do that better?
I don't know. I mean, I can only speak for myself, because there are going to be those bigots, you know, that are just completely closed off, and they just, they don't care. They don't care to hear what you have to say. They're going to bash you. They're going to cuss at you. They're, you know, because that's just who they are. And those people just kind of turn away, just smile, be like, you know what, thank you, have a good day. But to those people who are willing to understand and to listen and hear you out, just like I said before, just be open. Don't be, like, pushy. If someone says, you know what, like, no, I'm not interested, and you feel like it could go either way, maybe try to, like, what's the word? Like,
build a relationship?
Yeah, like, kind of further a little bit more, see how far you can get with it, and just based off their answers or what they're giving you, go off that. But don't be kind of like what the typical quote-unquote Christian person would be and just force your religion on someone, you know, or the stereotypical, that's the word.
Yeah.
And yeah, just be a normal person. Be yourself.
Just be someone who's normal but loves the Lord.
Exactly.
And push off him. Okay. Well, I do not want to overstep my boundary, but may I pray for you?
Go ahead.
Do you have any last thoughts for us?
No. Does anyone have any questions for me?
Does anyone have any questions? No questions? No. What's that? Mike Strauss, we'll let you ask a question.
Coming up here today, where is your view now? Has it changed any?
Good question.
That is a good question. I don't know. Maybe not completely. This is my first time here, so I don't know the people. And like I had said before, it's kind of what I get from people, the vibes I get from people. No one has, like, yelled at me yet, so that's a good positive sign.
Good job, graders. Good job, graders.
But, I mean, if you guys would let me, I kind of would like to stay for the full service.
No, that's not acceptable. I'm just kidding. Is that what we're not supposed to do? That's not what we're supposed to do? That's the opposite.
But just kind of to get a feel for this church, you know, and to maybe open my heart up a little bit more, not to fully convert or to say, you know what, I'm staying here because I want to, but just to maybe understand from different people's points of view or whatever you do up here.
Yeah. Micah?
I like the fact that you said us not to be stereotypical Christians, and I think all of us don't want to be. Could you give us just a couple of words of what you would think prior to coming in here, what is that stereotypical Christian? What are those things that you either heard about from your friends or what you would say? If you say stereotypical, I'd love to know what those are so we can make sure that we're not doing those things, just besides being pushy. But what are some other things that you kind of seen the church kind of to be the negative things?
God, this is going to sound really, really bad. And I don't want to offend anyone because I do not know any of you. But just a lot of Christians that I've ever met have been extremely two-faced and not very open-minded due to the religion. I feel that the stereotypical person or individual kind of uses the religion against people and to their advantage. Mm-hmm. So it's like they push their hate and their disbelief onto the religion and be like, you know what, this is why this is not okay. For example, the whole gay community, you know, and everyone says that in the Bible it says that gay is not okay, that Christ or Jesus created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, you know. So just kind of be more open-minded. Don't be so closed off. Be friendly. Be inviting, you know. Like, be someone that I want to talk to again, you know, and just makes me want to come back or just talk to you.
Yeah, and we do believe it's all on relationship. So thank you so much. Do I have permission? May I just pray for you real quick?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I'm not going to try to convert you. I promise. I'm not going to try to convert you. Okay, can we just pray for Isabella? Real quick, Lord, thank you so much for this sweet girl who was willing to be so brave and come and join us on this Sunday morning. God, I pray your blessings upon her. God, I pray that you would open the floodgates of heaven and just pour blessing on her in her relationships, in her finances. God, as she starts her new work position and job and career and what's going on, God, I pray that you would just advance her. God, that you would give her. God, you would bless her. Lord, that you would send her wonderful, healthy, God-loving Christians to come alongside her and be a very good friend to her. God, I pray that you would bless her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so
thank you.
Much. Thank you. Okay.
Thank great you, job, Isabella. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wasn't that great? Wasn't that great? I tell you, you got to hand it to her to get up here in front of a bunch of folks. They go to church and act crazy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's. Now, I want you to know that I had written this out before we interviewed Isabella, so this is not a bait and switch thing. And I said, we're not going to try to convert you. And we keep our word with that. We're, you know, Jesus is always there. But that's what I want to say is number two. In line with all this, in your bulletin there, we've been given permission to represent Jesus himself on planet Earth. What Jesus said, what he said, I'm going to build my church. And it's going to be this unmovable, unstoppable force that not even the gates of hell are going to prevail against it. Matthew 16, and just the next verse there, it says, and I'll give to you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, Peter was given the keys. Now, whether Peter, St. Peter at the gate and all that kind of stuff, we're not talking about that. But he preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost for the first time. And he opened the door of the gospel to the Gentiles. And the local church, we, us, are supposed to be the representation of Jesus on the earth. Now, my childhood experience, she was Catholic. I was raised, most of you have heard my story. I was raised wild-eyed Pentecostal. And and I loved it. And I think I loved it because I understood Christianese. None of my unchurched friends could have ever come and understood anything going on, but I was raised in this thing, and I got it, and I knew what sanctification meant. I knew what all those words meant, and I loved it, but I was not about to invite my unchurched friends, because where I went to church, it wasn't a partnership at all. It was kind of, we're the crazy people, the holy rollers, the alleluias, as it were, and the rest of you ought to start, and people would walk into church, and their eyes would be that wide, saying, what in the world is going on? And I thought, I know exactly what's going on because I was raised in it. Who was raised like I was? And we appreciate it. We love it. But it is certainly not friendly to the unbeliever, to the person who's not been in church for a while, who's not been around. And we've been given permission by Jesus himself to say, whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose is going to be loosed. And I'm giving you, and Peter is representing, the keys to open the doors for people, or the keys to keep people out. Look what it says in Matthew 18. I tell you again that if two of you agree about anything, you ask for, it will be done for my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Two or three come together. Jesus says, I'll join that. I think the closest thing to heaven is when God's people come together under the right setting. The worst thing that can happen, not just for Isabella, but for anybody, the people we're trying to reach through Canada Sunday, is when people come in and there's fighting, there's judgmentalism, there's narrow-mindedness, there's all that kind of stuff going on, and that does not represent Jesus at all. So we've been given the privilege to say, here's what the Lord's like. Where love prevails. Where people are gracious to one another. They're patient with one another. Remember, Jesus says, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. If you what? If you love one another. If you deeply care for one another. Carry one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Takes me to number three. We've been given authority to create a place of forgiveness and grace. We've not been given, only given the permission to represent the Lord. We've been given authority to create a place of forgiveness and grace. Look what John says. Jesus says it in John. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. And if you don't forgive them, they're not. Wow. A place of forgiveness. Just like your homes are. Where you're raising little kids, where you're raising teenagers. Sure, there's consequences, there's discipline that has to go on, obviously. But where forgiveness reigns. And Jesus says we've got the ability and the authority to do that. Is when people struggle, when they stumble. How many of you know when you stumble, you know it more than anybody else? How many of you know when you stumble, you don't need anyone to tell you what a rotten jerk you are? You know that. Well, I just feel like I need to tell them. No, you don't. Jesus says, no, if you will, you can let forgiveness flow. You can let grace flow. Does that mean you can give salvation? No, no, no. Salvation doesn't come through forgiveness. The truth of it is, when Jesus died on the cross, the whole world was forgiven then. He took upon himself the sins of the entire world that would ever have been committed or will be committed. And the good news, the gospel, that's what the gospel means, the good news is telling everybody that Jesus forgives. And we forgive. And that creates an incredibly safe place. A place of grace. A place that after the 23rd, when we bring our friends on the 23rd, there's no judgmentalism and what's wrong with you and how come and why this and how you look or how you act. Or none of that kind of stuff happens. That's why the body of Christ is so powerful when it gets together in the right time frame, in the right mindset, I mean, where there's forgiveness that is flowing, where there is grace that helps people instead of puts them down. And that's what Jesus said. Years ago, I had a friend. He was not a believer. His wife was. And matter of fact, my friend was doing things that he had not have been doing. He was working in Nogales. His family lived in Chicago. They would come every third weekend or so. And My friend was a heavy drinker, doing all kinds of stuff. And when his family came, then he would come to church with them. And his wife was hoping that I would get him. So I would preach sermons, you know, and try to get him. And my friend had sat through church all his life, and he had heard the best of him, and I wasn't going to move what I said. And the Lord spoke to me one time about this verse that I just read. And he said, why don't you forgive him of his sins? And I said, who do I think I am? I'm not a Catholic priest that I can go around forgiving. And he says, no, I don't ask you to be a Catholic priest. Why don't you not hold his sins against him? Why don't you not think about what he shouldn't be doing when you talk to him? Why don't you treat him like a brother and not a pagan? Why don't you treat him like an insider and not an outsider? And I thought, it just seems to be wrong. And I read this again. Whatever sins you hold, they're held. Whatever sins you release, they're released. And so I started calling the guy for coffee. He said, well, my wife's not in town yet. I said, I know, she'll be here. Let's just get together for coffee. Started treating him like a friend. Started treating him like a brother. I started telling him all the good things that God was doing in our little church. And at first, he was gracious and kind, and he had, oh, that's good. And I just treated him like I would treat you. Whatever the Lord was sharing with me, I'd share with him. And developed a real relationship. And one Sunday morning, after one of the worst services I had ever preached, it was God-awful. And you talk about waiting for it to get over. I was waiting for it to get over. And I did this awful sermon. And so I brought the singers up and they were singing. And I gave, no offense, a half-hearted altar call. Okay, if you want to get saved, come on down. And I hoping and knowing no one would because it was so awful that day. And so I remember taking the microphone, turning around. And I turned around and there was Bill Kindley at the front of the church. And I thought, my God, what are you doing here? Of course, I'm 27 years old at the time. This guy's 32, which is quite a bit older. I thought for an older man. He said, I want to give my life to Christ. I said, you're kidding me. So we prayed the sinner's prayer and Bill got saved. And it was a wonderful thing. But I think the catalyst was when I quit holding his sins against him. Yeah, you ought to quit that. You ought to stop that. You ought to be this. When that stuff finally went away, it provides a place of grace and safety for people to come. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Now read with me, please, in verse 9, not aloud, but verse 18. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And it's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that God was in the world, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and has committed to us the message of reconciliation, that God was in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. You know, after all, you did this. You did this. Remember that? You did that. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't do that. That's why people who were sinners and troubled people loved him. Because there was no condemnation there. That's why a friend like Isabella just rejects the religious, because sometimes there's so much condemnation there. And she's not the only one. So much criticism there. You're different than I. You shouldn't do that. Why don't you stop? Not counting their sins against them. And Paul said he's given to us this ministry of reconciliation. And that's what this Can It Sunday thing is all about. That's where we're heading. Trying to help families during the holiday season, they don't have food. Told you, Tony Robbins, when he was 8 years old, somebody brought him food and their family, his absent father, alcoholic mother, somebody brought them food. And he said the fact that a stranger in a suit cared about him when he was 8 years old changed his life. It gave him hope. And we can be those kinds of people. we can be exactly a representation of who Jesus is, not counting men's sins against them. We can be a body of Christ, a place where people can get help and to be truly loved for not what they ought to be, but who they are, where they're at. So the question, put the last screen on the screen. Are we invested in inviting strategically in relationships that bring people to Christ? I think God has stationed you where you work, where you live, where you do life, in circles that you run with. I think God has put you there. Not just you happen to land there, you happen to work there, you happen to live there because you like the street and the neighborhood. God put you there. And I think he has people cross our paths. And my whole thing is, what am I doing about it? I don't want to get heavy or anything, but what am I doing about it? God has arranged things and worked history to bring me across the path. And so on October 23rd, a good common thing is we're going to bring food for the needy. Bring some. Have your neighbors bring some. It's going to be the kickoff of what we're going to do. Bring people to church that day. You've got family, you've got friends that would probably come. I want to talk about that next week. That would probably come. We've got some neat testimonies we're going to give. There's some human videos that are going to happen. There's some skits and all that kind of stuff that we want to make a good presentation of the goodness of God. But even beyond that, we want to be a community of believers that understand forgiveness, understand grace, understand you don't clean fish till you catch them. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these good people, Lord, that have committed themselves to follow you, to walk with you, to be who you've called us to be fishers of men. Lord, show us how to do that. I pray it in Jesus' strong name. Amen. The closing scripture today is out of Isaiah 55:10. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. For I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. And again, if you've never opened your life to Christ, you've never said yes to Jesus, not sure what it means to follow him, but Lord, I want to do that. You can do that right now. Lord, here I am. Guys, I'm glad you came today. There's a pancake breakfast if you want to stay. God bless you. Consider yourselves dismissed. We'll see you later.